Welcome to the Sabres is Good Weekly Podcast. Each week, Chris Kernan and I will discuss our thoughts on the past week's Sabres news and what we feel is relevant for the current and upcoming weeks. This is a show for Sabres fans. If you'd like to share your thoughts with us, you can email the show at saberspodbox@gmail.com. Hello, Sabres Nation. I'm David Bloom, here as always with Chris Kernan.
That's right. How you doing, Sabres Nation?
All right. And we're going to give you your episode of Sabres is Good Weekly. News for actually for the show, not for the Sabres. Next week, we are not going to do the show on Thursday for all you people that sit around and wait till like 3 p.m. on Thursday to download it, which I know we have lots and we thank you. But yeah. We're going to do it Wednesday instead because Thursday is move-in day for me for Geneseo, and I think it might be, the internet might not be too well on the road down to Geneseo, so I don't think we could do that. I don't have one of those Verizon wireless internet things you plug in your computer, you know, you see on TV.
Yeah, it's the best of us.
Yeah. News for the Sabres would be they're riding a 5-game win streak currently, which is awesome. They set a franchise record when they came back 3-0 against Atlanta to make it the only time in franchise history they've gone down 3-0 in back-to-back games and won the game 4-3. That's pretty cool.
That's a good job. Not much to say on that. Some other news, Derek Roy. Is he still suffering an upper body injury?
Oh no, he played.
Did he play?
Mm-hmm. He's been playing.
Sunday. That's right. He is back. Never mind then. That's all we got. I got for the news, I guess.
And you could say Ryan Miller has let in 2 goals or more since December 9th when he shut out the Washington Capitals 3-0. Besides this most recent game, 1-0 shutout in Montreal. But besides that game, since December 9th, he's let in 2 goals or more, which is not the way he started out the year.
It's been, although we've been winning, we've been scoring more, but we've also been letting in more. And that might be because we're pushing more guys forward. We're trying to get more rushes. We're taking more risks, maybe, which I guess is paying off in our sense in that we're winning and that we're scoring more, but kind of hurts Miller's stats. But, you know, we're still winning, I guess.
Yeah, maybe we've been taking too many chances and not helping them out as much as we were before.
Right, right.
That pretty much does it for news. This show we're going to do a little bit differently. It's we played 42 games, the Sabres have, so we're going to do a mid-season report on them. But we'll still do the review of the last 3 games and prediction as normal. All right, so let's get into the review.
Alrighty. Probably get it wrong much as I get it right, but I got it right, woman, when I get it right. Segment of the show now. Since we've talked last, the Sabres have played 3 games, starting with Friday, January 1st, New Year's Day. The Atlanta Thrashers came into town, and we battled back from a 3-goal deficit that the Thrashers pretty much pounded on us in, well, it ended in the second period, and then we started scoring in the second period. And with goals by Hecht, Connolly, Hecht again, and then Roy in overtime to win it 4-3. So the Sabres battled back 4-3. And then we played on Sunday, January 3rd, if Dave, you want to take that one.
All right. Yeah, sure. That was the game where we were at the Bills game, actually, and it was snowing a lot. It was great.
Sure was.
But yeah, that game started at 3:00, so I kind of listened to it and got caught like the end of the third period when I got home. But yeah, Connolly scored, I believe, in the second, maybe the first. I'm not quite sure here, but it was a 1-0 final. Ryan Miller, it was in the second, I was right. Yeah, Ryan Miller shut him out. Like I said, for the first time in a long time, he's let in one or fewer goals. But overall, I assume it was a great effort, because that's how you get 1-0. You know, he did stop, I think, something like 27 shots or something like that. He And that's not, like, a terrible amount. Defense didn't, like, you know, let too many shots his way, but they let, you know, enough to test him, and he was great for him.
Right.
There were two penalties, both by Tim Kennedy. He's trying to cheat, I guess. One for cross-checking and one for hooking. So Montreal was 0-for-2 on the penalty kill, and that's one thing that's been very good for us this year, our penalty kill.
It has been pretty well. And next we're going to take you to Wednesday, January 6th, which was yesterday. The Lightning came into town, and we beat the Lightning 5-3.
We always beat the Lightning.
That's right.
I'm surprised Vanek didn't score, though, because he, like, always lights it up against the Lightning. Get it?
He lights it. That's a good one, Dave. Yeah, well, Vanek didn't score in that one, but we got off to an extremely fast start as Tyler Myers, Jochen Hesch, and Clark MacArthur all scored in the first period and all scored within about like a 2 minute and something span, I believe.
Yeah, I got it right here. At the 2:11 mark, it was 3-0 Sabres.
Right, 2:11, yeah, 3-0 Sabres. And then we let the Lightning battle back. At the end of the first period, it ended up being 3-2 as St. Louis and Victor Hedman scored for the Lightning.
I was disappointed with the Victor Hedman goal because Miller should have stopped that. It went right over his shoulder. It was a 2-on-1, and instead of passing, he shot it.
Right.
Yeah, that was...
Yeah, it was tough. Seemed like maybe Miller went down a little bit early, but it was a 2-on-1, so, I mean...
Yeah.
We ended up winning that game 5-3 with a Drew Stafford second-period goal.
Game winner.
Along with Jason Pominville's second-period goal. And, of course, Le Cavalier scored in that one in between the Stafford and Pominville goals to make it 5-3, but... you know, got the win. Miller let up 3 goals, but that's all part of us maybe taking more chances and possibly scoring more. So,
mm-hmm. Yeah, both teams had 4 penalties. I think we scored once on the power play. There was only 1 power play goal, and that was Stafford's, and he got lucky. It just bounced off a skate. Like, I remember someone took a shot from the sides, bounced off a skate right in front of Stafford. Stafford, you know, the opportunist saw it and cashed in on it right away before anybody else saw what was going on.
Right. Yeah, well, yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. It landed like, he was like standing still and it bounced and landed right in front of him. So if he didn't get that, you know, come on.
Right. Right.
I don't know. I'm kind of down on him lately. Like, he had that great effort last show when we were talking about, I don't know who it was against, maybe Pittsburgh or something like that, right?
Was it?
He had that huge effort against one of those teams where he scored 2 goals, and he looked unstoppable after he got benched.
Yeah, I think it was maybe Pittsburgh. Yeah, we came back from down 3-0, and he started off the scoring with the penalty shot.
I don't know. They should like bench him every other game then, so like he'll like.
Yeah, I know.
I don't know. He seems like he's too comfortable, you know.
With just playing average.
Yeah, that's what I think. I don't know what you think, but.
Well, I mean, I think he's a good player, but I definitely know where you're coming from. Maybe he's down on himself from, I don't know, still playing bad or something, and he's still trying to find his form and still trying to, I don't know, get comfortable with playing well, and right now he's just not making the correct decisions, and hopefully those wrinkles will iron themselves out, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, hopefully. All right, so... Have your thoughts on the outlook changed at all?
As in playoff standings?
As in, yeah, one or two rounds and out. That's what it was last week.
I think they have changed a little bit, considering the fact that different stars are shining every game now, and we're definitely showing our depth. We don't have one or two big stars. We got, you know, leading goal scorers on our team with 11 goals.
Right.
So, I mean, I think it's just, it's showing our depth, and young guys like Tyler Myers are showing up every night, and if that happens in the playoffs and we play hard and, you know, we get to this second seed or, you know, the third or maybe even possibly the first seed in the overall Eastern Conference, you know, that would be nice.
But, it's possible.
Home ice advantage throughout. I think home ice would definitely help us. But we're just going to need those young guys to also show up in the playoffs, which is obviously something they've never done before. And guys even like Roy and Pominville and Hesht and
guys that have been around.
Guys that have been around, but maybe the last time they were in the playoffs, they were young at the time, so they didn't have to do all the work. They're going to have to do a lot more work when playoffs come around.
Yeah.
Maybe even more work than what they're doing now in the season.
Yeah, yeah. It's time. You'll see, you know, the players will step up, you know, your real players, you know what I mean? Like, I'm not saying the player, I mean, like, the good players will step up.
Right, yeah, that's true.
If you're a real player. All right, yeah, my thoughts are pretty much the same. I don't know. I see division championship for sure. And Northeast Division champs.
We have a 7-point lead on Boston right now.
Yeah, we'll get into that in just a minute with the standings. But, I guess it might have changed a little bit. Before I was firm, like third place for sure. Mm-hmm. But I wouldn't say I'm firm anymore. I could see first. I could see it happening.
I could too. I mean,
definitely third though. Third or higher is where I see.
Right. A division win or higher. That's true. I mean, if we want to just get into the standings right now, I guess.
All right. Yeah. We'll hop into that, and then we'll do our mid-season evaluation / award ceremony.
All right. Let's hand out those awards.
Crazy how you make it all alright, love. Crush me with the.
Alright, guys, we're going to give you your standings update now. Currently in the Eastern Conference, the Sabres sit second with a 2-point lead on Washington, who's in third. They actually have more points than Pittsburgh now, three more. Originally, we were sitting in third and Pittsburgh had more points, but we just sat in third because of the way the standings rules work. We're 3 points behind New Jersey, but we've also played one more game than New Jersey. They have 61 points. Rounding it out, after Pittsburgh in fourth with 55, you have Boston, the next closest team to us in the division, with 51. Like you said earlier, we have a 7-point lead on them. And then in sixth place, Ottawa with 48. Seventh place, New York with 47. And eighth place, Montreal with 45. And I'm pretty sure ninth place is right behind Montreal, which it is. Ninth place would be the Flyers with 43. And even the Thrashers, Lightning, and Islanders Panthers have a chance to get in it. The Panthers have 41, only sitting in fourth place, 4 points out of eighth.
Right. The Islanders are ahead of Philadelphia with in ninth place, 44 points.
Oh, they are? Oh, this must not be updated then. Okay.
Yeah, that's why I was looking at the injury report earlier with Roy, but Islanders, yeah, they're sitting in ninth place with 44 points right behind Montreal.
Oh, okay, they must have just made a mistake on this or something. But anyway, if the playoffs started today, we would play the Rangers, and I'd be comfortable with that.
So would I. I feel like we just have more overall strength, and they just try and rely on stars.
Kolarik and Drury got nothing.
I'm sorry,
I didn't mean to cut you. I was saying Kolarik and Drury have nothing. They're no good.
That's right. There's no shootouts in the playoffs there, Kolarik. Sorry.
Yeah.
Grab some bench.
And then in the Western Conference, why not? You got the Blackhawks, Sharks, Flames, and Coyotes on top of that. How about that?
That's quite the standings right there.
The Coyotes. Who would have thought that the Phoenix Coyotes with no like real owner would be doing well? But
well, the great one has got him going in the right direction, I guess.
Didn't he quit?
Right. Well, he had him going in the right. He had him, and he gave him a boost, and right now they're doing good without him. So.
That's right. All right. Mid-season wise, the Sabres, points wise, in the league, in not just our conference, they rank fourth, I think. Yeah, they rank fourth with points. So, you know, you could still chase that President's Trophy down. We're 5 points away from the lead in the league.
Right. Chicago's in the lead with 63 points.
Chicago and San Jose are tied. Okay, right. San Jose's played two more games than we have, and Chicago's played one. So
that's right, I mean, the lead this year is not it's nothing special. I mean, nobody's really running. You don't really have a Detroit or anybody else really running away with it. So
right.
Anything's within reach right now.
We rank currently sixth in the league in penalty kill percentage with an 85.1, which is pretty good. Our power play isn't as good at all. We're 24th in the league at 16.5.
Yeah, I think we've got some kinks to work out with the power play. That's definitely one thing that should be improved by playoff time.
Yeah, I agree. We get a quality amount of shots per game. Our average is like 31, which is, you know, if you get 31 shots, you should get like 3 goals, you know. So
that's not bad.
But the shots against per game is interesting. That's at 31.5, but it used to be really low when the season started. But we've been giving up a lot more shots lately.
Right, and right now I'm seeing, we were talking about Miller maybe not having a whole lot of shutouts or giving up a lot of goals, but right now in the Eastern Conference, we are third in goals against behind New Jersey is in first.
Third fewest, right?
Right, fewest goals against, yeah. Right. New Jersey, which is, you know, definitely anyone could have predicted that, defensive team like New Jersey. And then Boston has 99 goals against. We have 96, and New Jersey has 89 goals against.
So, yeah, we're pretty close in that area.
Yeah, it's not too bad.
Maybe the most impressive stat, when leading after two periods, the Sabres are 100% winning. I think it's 16-0.
That is, yeah, that's definitely very good. You want to hold on to wins.
Yep. Can't let people steal a win from you is what you're saying, right?
Right. Especially, I don't know how that works out on the road, that stat, but road wins would be good too, especially leading after two. If we can jump on a team on the road in the playoffs and win the game, hopefully.
Yeah, there's only four teams three others that have 100% after leading after two besides us.
Okay. All right. That's pretty dang good then.
Yep. Leading after one, we're not 100% though. That's kind of interesting.
That's sort of shaky. I mean, we can come back after one. We can lose it after one. You know, we'd like to win it, but It's only one period, you know.
Right.
Sort of a weird stat. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. Okay. That pretty much does it for this team stats. I'd say we're in pretty good shape and everything except for, like, the power play, you know?
Yeah, which can be worked out. I mean, Lindy Ruff, I'm sure he's got some ways of mixing up lines on the power play, so I have faith in Lindy.
Team-wise, though, the scoring, as we've, like, said all year on the show, it's been very spread out.
Right, yeah, it definitely has been. With Pommen, MacArthur, Thomas Vanek, they both have 11 goals. I know Connolly's leading us in points with...
yeah, I've got it right here if you want it.
34 points.
Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of depth, you know.
Yeah, we have 6 10 goal scorers after last night's game, and Jokinen is right behind with 9. So, and then 4 guys are tied with the team lead in goals with 11. Like you said, Connolly, Pomville, Vanek, and MacArthur. We're on track again. I remember 05-06, I think we had 26-20 goal scorers, and we're on track to have 6-20 goal scorers again.
That wouldn't be bad. You know, a lot of depth helps out going into the playoffs. You never know who's going to shine, which line is going to do good.
Or just an injury.
Right, yeah. Someone, your star gets injured, your main goal scorer gets injured, you need other guys to step up. That's what it's all about.
Mm-hmm. Now, the only thing is, though, when we were with that team, we also had, like, 40 goal scorers. We're not on track to have any of those this year.
All right, that's true, but, I mean, we're also winning just about at the same pace as that team of the past, and if we could maybe go farther in the playoffs, that'd be even better. So.
Right. Yeah, we are winning as much. We're just not scoring as much. The big difference would be the defensive philosophy of this year's team, I guess.
All right, yeah. Letting up fewer goals. Miller's, of course, is on fire pretty much.
Mm-hmm. The only players that have played significant amount of time that haven't scored yet would be Chris Butler, Craig Revay, and Adam Mayer. Everyone else has at least a goal.
Well, yeah. Craig Revay, hopefully he'll get some in before the end of the season. As a defenseman, can't put too much on him. Although he does work the power play, I'd say, fairly enough to possibly have a goal.
Yeah, I don't think Butler plays the power play too much.
Right, yeah. And Revay rips some shots from the point, so you like to see him get some in before the end of the season.
Definitely. All right, so who would you say is the best forward on the team first half of the year?
Best forward on the team first half of the year, right?
Exactly what I said.
Let me just make sure I understand that correctly. Well, I'm going to have to give it to... it's a tough one. Like we said, a lot of depth.
Yeah.
I'm going to give it to Derek Roy.
You stole mine.
10 goals and 32 points. For just some reason, I feel like he's the most consistent with the puck night in and night out.
Oh, yeah, you stole mine. I was going to say Roy, too, but
all right.
Now I guess I'm going to say Pominville then instead.
Pominville, all right.
Yeah, he does disappear sometimes, but not frequently. You know?
No, I would say he's definitely, his head's in the game, you know, more than 80% of the time.
He'll give you a great effort every night, you know?
Yeah, he will. And it seems like he's been scoring in even bigger situations than he has in the past.
Yeah. Yeah, big clutch goals to close out games.
Yeah, he has. That's true.
Best defenseman. Do you want me to go first so you can think about it this time?
Best defenseman. Yeah, you can go first.
I definitely have to go with Myers. Best defenseman on the team.
You stole mine too.
Now you see how it feels.
All right, Dave.
But he's always really good defensively in the corners, and you know, I think it's very impressive.
That's very impressive, especially for a young kid, his first year in the league. I would definitely agree with you with Myers. If I had to pick another one, I would have to go with, I mean, maybe not scoring-wise, but Tony Ludman, pretty much night in and night out. He just knows how to stop guys. He can pick up the puck in the corner. I love his Tony Ludman backhand when we're killing a penalty. He sends it about 40 feet into the air and down the ice, 200 feet. I just think he's just very consistent. And when it comes down to fundamentals, he can take away a puck just, I mean, I'd say 90% of the time from a guy coming in on him. So, he's just a very solid defenseman, all-around solid defenseman.
Yeah, that's what I just wanted to say one more thing about Myers. It's like, he's very veteran-like, you know, he doesn't just take somebody off the puck. He takes somebody off the puck, then takes the puck, and then gets a really first good outlet pass out of our zone, you know? He does all those things, and he's so young. It's very impressive.
It is very impressive. Yeah, he doesn't give the puck away. He doesn't get nervous back there in his own end. And Ruff is definitely showing confidence in him. He's keeping Myers out there for a lot of shifts and even late when we're up a goal and the other team has an empty net or something. He relies on Myers at the end of the game to get the puck out of the zone.
Yeah, he's got the most ice time on the team.
Does he? I didn't realize that. Okay.
Yeah, he's got 3 minutes more than the next closest guy.
Wow, jeez, Myers, that a boy.
Yeah. Injury-wise, like, Pat Coletta is the only injured Sabre right now.
That's right, sort of a long-standing thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, kind of like it's been hanging around him for a while.
Yep.
All right, so let's just get into the three stars and then the prediction.
Okay. Segment of the podcast. My three stars goes as follows. Sitting in the third star position, I'm going with Ryan Miller as he recorded his fifth shutout of the year. Although he let in three goals in the other two games that we're covering in today's podcast, he did get a shutout, which will probably boost his confidence because we've been getting wins, but he's been letting in some goals lately. My second star is Tim Connolly. He had 3 points over the past three games, and I believe last night, after recording an assist in last night's game, he's riding a 7-game point streak, which is his career record, I believe they said last night. And my number one overall star is Jochen Hecht, with 5 points in the past three games. He had a goal in the Thrashers game, an assist in the Canadiens game. Two goals in the Thrashers game, that is right. He tied the game and he had an assist. So he had a 3-point night against the Thrashers. That's enough to make him the number one star right there. But yeah, he tied the game against Atlanta in the third period. He had an assist on Connolly's goal, I believe.
Yep,
in Montreal. And 3 points in that game. And then an assist on Connolly's only goal against the Canadiens. And he scored against the Lightning, so that's my number one star.
All right. Oh man, we think alike too much. Yeah, my third star would be Myers instead of Miller.
All right.
Myers always leading the team with ice time, doing a really good job. That's just about all you can say about him. He got a goal too. Got his 4th goal of the year in the last night's game, right in the beginning of it, starting the game outright. And my second star would be Hecht. Like everything you just said, I could just say it again, or I could not, and just say what you just, you know, what Chris just said, everybody. It's pretty much the same reason.
That's good enough, dude.
Yep. And then my first star was actually Connolly. Yeah, lots of points. Playing well. I haven't really seen too much of him from the defensive, but, you know, he's an offensive player. He's skilled offensively, so he's doing what he's supposed to do for us. And that's about all you can ask. And that's about it for that. Prediction-wise, we're going to play 2 games until we do this again next Wednesday. One tomorrow night against Toronto, and then the night after that against Colorado. Both are in HSBC Arena before they start a little road trip. Do you want me to go first, or?
Yeah, you can go ahead and go first.
Alright, I'll just say, I call a win in both games.
Okay.
We always beat Toronto, like, all the time. I think we have a 9-game streak going against them. It's great. I hate them. And then, I don't know who's gonna win or how much or whatever. I just think we're gonna beat them. And then Colorado, they are a much better team than Toronto, but they're still coming into our building, and I think we'll still be riding the tide pretty well. You know, you don't want to lose one before you head into a road, you know, a road series.
That is true. Yeah, I believe we are also going to be 2-0, which will extend our winning streak to 7 games.
Yep.
And just like you said, I mean, yeah, we're going then on the road for 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 games there. So why not extend the win streak to 7 games? And if we lose all 7 of the other games, then we even it out for 14 games there, which isn't too bad, you know, break even. But yeah, I predict a win against Toronto, division foe, and also a win against Colorado. Because I just don't think an avalanche is intimidating at all. I think a saber sword is much more.
Exactly.
Slice through that snow like a hot knife through butter.
Exactly. That's perfect basis for the win. I agree.
All right.
What mascot is better? Or what team symbol?
A mountain full of snow?
What do you think their mascot is? Is it some, like, dude dressed up in, like, an A with snow on him, or? Or is it like is it one of those stupid teams where their team isn't an animal, but their mascot's still like an animal?
That might be it. I'm guessing that might be it. It might be, like a Yeti or something.
Yeah.
I'm looking it up right now.
You're looking it up right now.
I am.
All right, while you do that, I will start the mailbag for everybody. We're not going to do a music segue into it. We're just going to do it.
Let's do it, Dave.
We had one email this past week, which is great. A lot better than zero, but it has nothing really along the lines of, like, you guys can email us whatever you want, but we're kind of, you know, trying to use this as, you know, time to answer questions or get a discussion started. But John K. Calhoun from Clarence said, "Hey, I just want to let you guys know that your podcast is awesome, comma, keep up the good work." Well, thanks, John.
Thank you, John.
Yes. You are the 7th emailer we've had, so 93 more, and you win a pack of gum. Remember, you guys get to pick it, so let's get the emails going here. Whatever your favorite gum is. I'll even do the icebreaker cube things or whatever. Just got to fit in an envelope. It can't be like Big League Chew. I don't think that would fit.
All right. Well, the Colorado Avalanche mascot is Bernie.
Bernie?
He's got a Colorado jersey on, and he's sort of like a Yeti-looking bear-type creature. I should... let me just look him up on Wikipedia here. But yeah, he's some kind of Yeti-type guy. He is an animal, even though the name is an avalanche.
Yeah, it's just like the Montreal Canadiens, their mascot is like this yellow guy. He looks like Elmo, but he's like orange instead of red.
Right, yeah.
It's like, what? That's not... Is that a Canadian? Is that what Canadians look like?
I guess. Bernie the Saint Bernard is what he is now.
Oh, he's a dog?
Right, newly introduced this season on October 3rd, 2009. He's the Colorado Avalanche's current mascot.
A dog.
So, right, he's a St. Bernard with a maroon Colorado jersey on.
Does he walk around on all fours, like in the stadium?
No, he doesn't. That's also another weird thing. The animal is on two legs. Well, we can't really say much, though. Our saber-toothed tiger is walking around on his hind legs all day, every day.
Yeah, but he's really strong, so he can do that.
That is true. He's got good thighs.
Yeah. All right. That pretty much does it for this show.
You know what? We forgot about the call. You know what? We're not even going to do the call segment anymore. All right? Just email our podbox, Sabres.
Yeah, that's it. You had it right the first time.
SabresPodbox@gmail.com. Send us your questions. And remember, only 93 more emails gets the 93rd now emailer gets a free pack of gum sent to you courtesy of David Bloom and I and the show.
Yes, we will autograph it and everything. We'll put our numbers on there, maybe even like a picture or something. You guys are great, you know?
Yep.
We'll make it great. I'll put a nice little note in there. But yeah, you can email the show twice per week if you're the same person. So get on it.
Yep.
All right. I guess that just about does it. Sabres looking good halfway through the year.
That's right, and hopefully they'll extend their win streak. This has been Chris Kernan.
And this has been David Bloom.
On Sabres is Good Weekly. Goodbye, Sabres and Buffalonian fans.
Or as I like to say, goodbye, Sabres.